Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. In this edition, my focus of attention is a great success story involving a small business that has been set up here in Donegal. Catherine Devine is the owner of Donegal-based Pumpskins, which creates durable, eco-friendly and brightly designed covers for diabetes pumps, allowing users of diabetes pumps to personalize their devices while also protecting against drops, bumps, cracks and scratches. Well, she's been updating me all about her business, which has considerable potential. Indeed, and this is quite a startling statistic, there are an estimated 500 million people around the world with some form of diabetes. Catherine's company already exports to more than 20 countries, and the outlook for expansion is obvious. She's appeared on Business Matters in the past, but quite a lot has been happening since then, including the fact that she was one of the 10 winners of the 2023 3 Small and Medium Enterprises Grant Programme, and recently received her €10,000 cheque. Well, this was a timely boost, and she has also benefited from the subsequent publicity. I've been talking to her about how she set up her business, the range of products, and her business journey to date.
Oh, yeah, hi, Chris. Great. Thanks for having me back. It's, you know, amazing how quickly time flies by when you're a startup. It's great to be here. So I suppose in terms of the winning the grant, it was amazing news. You know, I found out just before Christmas that I'd actually was one of 10 winners. And I found out more recently there were over 5,000 applications. So the first thing for us as a global business that's based in Donegal, you know, we're making accessories for people with type 1 diabetes. We're exporting all over the world, currently 20 countries and counting. So when we applied for the grant, you know, obviously being a small business, every little bit helps. Every bit of support you can get is incredible. So I actually saw the advert for the 3's grants for small business. It popped up on my Facebook feed. And I thought, well, you know, I'll give it a go and see. To be honest, you know, I thought it was for businesses that were much more established than we were. But the application process was very straightforward. Everything was clear, easy to understand. And it was a good opportunity, actually, to sort of learn more about what we had achieved since we started and to sort of refocus on what we were doing. So I applied. I found out then in November of last year, I think, that I got through to the second round, which was a video submission. I think a 3-minute video submission or a 5-minute video submission. And again, that was great. It was a great opportunity for me to tell the Pumpskin story, to sort of reflect on the people whose lives we're making a difference to, the products that we're making, and to really, you know, focus on the future of the business.
So let's just go back in time before we go forward and just remind us about how this all started. Big career change for yourself and as a person with type 1 diabetes, this was a major factor in where the seed was sown for this whole business.
My background was in journalism for many years here in Donegal. And in 2013, I was diagnosed, just after I had my first baby, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So I carried on. I went back to work. I was working as a journalist. And I just realized then that, you know, I always had this entrepreneurial sort of spark. I always wanted to work for myself, to own my own business. And all of the research I did kept leading me back to one thing, which is you've got to do something that you're passionate about. So obviously, having lived with diabetes for quite a while by then, I had been complaining since I was diagnosed that I couldn't find nice accessories. I couldn't find things to protect my insulin pump that would also make it look nice. You know, I couldn't find different things that I needed that didn't look ugly or boring or medical or just functional. So I decided then to really take matters into my own hands, and I started Pumpskins. So to just explain sort of for people that wouldn't understand, people living with type 1 diabetes need to manage their blood sugars every day. So there's different technology now that is being rolled out to help people manage their blood sugars. So that you've got continuous glucose monitoring systems that replace sort of traditional finger pricks. And then insulin pumps are now becoming a much more common way of helping people to administer their insulin rather than having to depend on giving yourself injections every day. So I got an insulin pump in 2017, and the products that we make help people to not only protect this, you know, very important device and technology, but to also make people who are using it feel confident about living with chronic illness. Because life with type 1 diabetes is really a lot harder than most people would ever imagine. You know, life with type 1 diabetes is a life of numbers. It's a life of routine. It's a life of, without being dramatic, keeping yourself alive, because you've got to be aware of how things you eat affect your blood sugars. You've got to be aware of your blood sugar levels. You've got to be aware of how much insulin you need to keep your blood sugars from being too high or from being too low. So when I was starting a business, I wanted a business that was going to make life easier for people living with type 1.
So these, you know, a typical insulin pump for somebody who's not au fait with them, it's relatively small, I suppose, in size, what, a bit like a mobile phone and fairly nondescript to look at. Your silicone covers that you have developed, they come in a, well, quite a big range now, all sorts of colours. So tell us a little bit about the thought process and the design side, and even where you were thinking of sourcing your materials from initially.
I'm really glad you asked, actually, because, you know, our covers are all, that was important to me, that I wanted to have something that wasn't just protective, but there was also sort of fun or fashionable, because the reality is life with type 1 diabetes can't be described as fun, but there are ways just to make it a little bit less dull, you know, to make you feel that you can put your own stamp on the condition. But the most important thing about our covers, and this has become so apparent from speaking to our customers over the last 4 years, as a brand, we're not just about selling products, and we're not saying, oh, you know, put a colorful cover on your insulin pump and everything's rosy in the garden. You know, it couldn't be further from the truth. But what our covers are doing is helping to change the conversation around type 1. And that's something that is so important to me as a person with type 1 diabetes, is that there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about what the condition is. There's, you know, not really, unless you're directly connected to someone who has type 1 or who lives with type 1, you know, you don't really know what that management entails. Mm-hmm. So that's why, as a brand, Pumpskins is all about changing that conversation and making people feel more confident about living with type 1. So, for example, you know, insulin pumps, like you say, they're pretty nondescript. You know, there are different brands. You know, there's different types. Some of them, they all look slightly different. But the bottom line is that they're connected to you 24/7. You know, they contain your insulin that you put into it. That insulin is then delivered, you know, through the technology that's in the device. It's delivered at certain rates or as you need it, to basically replace the function of your pancreas, which doesn't make insulin anymore.
In some respects, it's a little bit like, and maybe this is not a correct comparison, but people, when they got their mobile phones initially and you didn't have any covers and they were a little bit bland looking, likewise here with the pumps, you are providing a cover. It's durable. It's helping to protect the device as well. So if it's dropped or whatever and scratches, etc. So it's fulfilling that role. And then, as you mentioned, you know, it gives a person a chance to maybe personalize it and go for something that maybe reflects their own character as well.
Absolutely. And it's changing the conversation, Chris, because that, you know, when you wear an insulin pump, so just to give you an example, I noticed lots of times when I had my first insulin pump, it was just black and it's connected with a tube. It's pretty discreet. You know, it might have been clipped onto my waistband. But I'd noticed people looking at it, you know, and actually a couple of occasions where people sort of went, oh, you know, what's that? And that made me feel instantly uncomfortable and defensive and sort of, you know, almost hiding it away and embarrassed about it. But then I realized that when you've got a colorful cover on it, when you've got something that's sparkly or, you know, bright and colorful, it changes the dynamic of that conversation. So that initial interaction is someone going, oh, that's really cool. What is that? So then the person who has the insulin pump connected to them or who's wearing it can say, well, you know, and if they feel like they want to talk about it, of course, you don't have to talk about it. They can say, well, actually, this is my insulin pump. It's incredible technology. It's saving me from multiple injections every day. You know, it's helping to keep me alive. It's helping to keep me healthy. And they're in a situation where they can raise awareness about type 1, but in a position where they're in control of the situation and they don't have to feel embarrassed.
So when it started off, Catherine, how did you design the very first cover that you made? Where was it made? And tell us a little bit about the process to get to that first, prototype, I suppose we could call it.
Yes, so when I first came up with the idea, because there were lots of different types of diabetes accessories that I could have, you know, made as our first product. But I started to look around and see what was already out there in the market. And I realized quite quickly that there was really nothing for insulin pumps. And actually, the idea came to me. I was in London, and I was in the Apple store, and I was trading in my iPhone. And they had this wall of incredible, you know, sort of rainbow-colored, all different colored covers for your phone. And that's when the idea first hit me. I thought, well, there's so much out there for a phone, which is, you know, a couple of hundred euros. And there's really nothing for insulin pumps, which are just so much more than a phone. You know, it's expensive technology, but it's life-changing and life-saving technology. So that's when the idea first hit me. And then I started to look at my competitors, and I realized that there were competitors out there, of course. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel, but what they were offering was poor quality. It wasn't coming from a design perspective. It was coming from just a functional, protective perspective. So then I started to look. I thought, it can't be as simple as this. And I thought, you know, there must be sort of something precluding people from making them. So I did all sorts of patent searches and research and went on to more market research. And I realized, no, it was just because there just weren't many people doing it. So I then set about looking for a manufacturer. And I approached companies in Ireland. I approached companies in the UK. I approached companies in Europe. And they all sort of pretty much dismissed me because they wanted huge minimum order quantities. They had, for a startup, you know, prohibitive molding costs. They wanted, for example, one of them wanted, you know, 20,000 pieces of a blue color device. And that was even after, you know, the molding costs just were in the sort of tens of thousands. So fortunately, I had experience of doing business in China. I have family connections in China, and my mother lived out there for many years. My uncle still has businesses out there. So I turned to China, which for a lot of people, you know, can be a minefield. You don't know where to start. So I actually made contact with a number of potential manufacturers out there, and I went out, I visited them, I, you know, sort of refined the ones that I thought would work well for us. And the reality is, you know, China gets a lot of bad press. And I was talking about this recently because without being able to manufacture in China, I would never have got this business off the ground. And actually, a few years ago, I was in, I'm not going to say where it was, but it was in Donegal, and I was in a group of sort of startup business people who there was sort of information being given about different grants that were available and different things that were available, different supports. And there was a man there, and he turned around to me and he said, well, you shouldn't get anything because you're just manufacturing products in China and selling them here. And that really annoyed me for lots of reasons, but the main one is because that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, the reality is we would love to manufacture in Ireland, and as we scale, we would absolutely love to find, you know, a manufacturer closer to home. But the reality is from the outset, I wanted to have a business that was going to be able to be based here in Donegal so that I didn't have to think about, you know, leaving or going somewhere else. I wanted to have a business that was based in Donegal, but that was exporting products to the world, that was supporting people with type 1 in every country. You know, I wanted to start a business that was generating employment, that was creating jobs locally. So, you know, the people to think that, oh, they're just getting products manufactured in China and selling them here, like I say, couldn't be further from the truth.
Now, tell us a little bit about the range of products that you actually have at the moment. How many different products are there?
So currently we make products for four different types of devices. We make silicone covers for Medtronic brand insulin pumps, Tandem T-Slim insulin pumps, Omnipod tubeless insulin pumps, and the Freestyle Libre, Abbott's Freestyle Libre glucose reader. But we're shortly, in the next couple of months, we're going to be adding silicone covers for another Omnipod device, the Omnipod 5. And we're making that in collaboration with a partner in America. And we're also going to be adding covers for the Dexcom G7 receiver. We've also just recently added adhesive patches for continuous glucose monitoring systems. So the likes of Dexcom and Libre, I'm sure people might be familiar. You would have seen people with little kind of circular things on their arm. Those are glucose monitoring systems. So there's different brands, like I say. There's Dexcom, there's Abbott, Freestyle Libre, and actually others coming onto the market. So we make adhesive patches that help to extend the sort of wearability of those. Sometimes the adhesive that's already on them can tend to peel off. So we have patches that will stick over that will help them stay on, that will also, you know, make people feel a bit better. We've got different colors, we've got different designs, and then stickers for all of the different devices that we do. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, really. We've got lots planned for next year that we're currently working on.
And I'm sure, fair to say, that a lot of people who wouldn't be really familiar with diabetes and what it entails, the actual market out there, Catherine, for your products runs into potentially millions of customers.
It's tens of millions now, because just to sort of break it down quite simply, there's over half a billion people across the world with all types of diabetes. And then the percentage, it's estimated 10% of that is living with type 1. So that's, you know, 50-something million, 53, 54 million people with type 1 across the world. But the position we're in now is that the technology that was originally designed to help people with type 1 diabetes, so like I say, glucose monitoring systems and insulin pumps, that's now being rolled out to people with type 2. So in America in particular, you know, people with type 2 are being given insulin pumps and are using the glucose monitoring technology. But again, outside of that, and this is possibly something you're more familiar with, Chris, you know, is the fitness side of things. Glucose monitoring is now being used for sort of, you know, athletic performance in sport and fitness. So there are lots of different avenues that this technology is being delivered into.
Well, it's a fascinating subject. We'll hear more from Catherine Devine, founder of Pumpskins, after this break.
If your small business has undertaken a Green for Business, Green Start or SEAI energy audit, you're eligible to apply for an energy efficiency grant aimed at reducing the impact of enterprises on the environment. The scheme from Local Enterprise Office Donegal supports all aspects of sustainability, including water, energy and the circular economy. Continue your sustainability journey at localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My guest this week is Catherine Devine, the founder of Pumpskins, which sells stylish and functional accessories for diabetes management devices, which also empower individuals to embrace their diabetes with confidence and indeed style. Coming up, we'll hear about the export potential and how a major organization called Beyond Type 1 has been in contact with Catherine, and how Pumpskins is set to get exposure at the New York Marathon. But first, how does a product get to an end user? I asked her to explain how the whole process works. If somebody goes online, for example, if they are living in the United States, and orders a product from Pumpskins.
So we ship everything from here, all of the orders that we get in directly. But in the next couple of months, we're actually partnering with a couple of different distributors in the US. So people will be able to have their products much quicker. The plan for us is to sort of have one distributor or to work with the main existing diabetic accessory reseller in each country. And like I say, we're currently working with 16 of them. We've added 4 in the last couple of months. So that's what we're hoping to do. But everything comes to me first, because quality control is something that I'm, you know, passionate about. We don't want to send anything out that's flawed or that's not working right. So I like to oversee all of that from Donegal.
And from a business point of view, I suppose one of the key things there for you is your stock levels, just managing them at the right level, because that impacts things like cash flow.
Absolutely, Chris. And it's quite interesting. You know, at the start of this business journey, I thought that the majority of the business would be coming from, you know, direct orders, people ordering directly from us. And I realized very quickly that a wholesale business model is actually much easier given the sort of bandwidth that we have at the moment. We're still a very small team. So to receive wholesale orders is much easier to stand and pack a box, you know, with 200 or 300 covers than it is to stand and pack 200 or 300 individual envelopes.
And the export potential is quite obvious. As things stand, Catherine, how many countries have you dispatched products to?
I think currently we're on 24 different countries.
And is there a case of, in each of those countries, is it sometimes just individuals, or as you've touched on there, you know, are there actually people who are bringing them in bulk themselves and then maybe selling them on or distributing them?
Yes, so the distributors, we're in 20 countries, and then there are just a couple of additional ones that we haven't got a presence in yet. And actually, interestingly, America, we really haven't even hit the tip of the iceberg in America. We really just scratched the surface because, like I say, we're working now towards partnering with two different distributors. And actually, some of the most exciting news that's going to be massive for us in America is recently, in the last month, we were approached by an organization called Beyond Type 1. It was started, co-founded by Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, who are quite a famous pop group. And Nick Jonas has type 1 diabetes. So in 2017, he co-founded this organization called Beyond Type 1, which is an amazing community platform for education, awareness. They do incredible work to help people with type 1 diabetes and to help people without type 1 understand type 1. So we were contacted by them recently. They said, you know, we absolutely love what you do. We'd love to partner with you. So we are now working on sponsorship in combination with Beyond Type 1 of the New York Marathon that's coming up now in November. So that's hugely exciting because, you know, that's going to get much more brand awareness for us among the manufacturers. And that's where our focus really is at the moment, as well as expanding our network of distributors. We would love to work directly with manufacturers like Medtronic, with Dexcom, with, you know, Abbott here in Donegal Town, because we know that we have products that our customers love and that products that make them feel better about using this incredible technology. So we would love to partner directly with manufacturers and hopefully, you know, over the next couple of months, the effort that we're putting into that will bear fruit.
Well, all sounds very, very interesting. What about turnover, you know, percentage increase year on year? Is it a steady increase, or have you seen a sudden upward curve maybe from one year to another?
Yeah, so it's interesting to see. I mean, last year and the year before, we actually put a lot of time into almost taking a step back and really setting the business on solid foundations. You know, in Ireland, there is so much support for startup businesses. It's really incredible. You know, from my very first engagement with the local enterprise office here, then, you know, I was on the Ambition program with the local enterprise office. Then I went on to take part in the Empower program, which is for women entrepreneurs. That was through Galway and Mayo IT. Then I went on to the New Frontiers program, which was really, you know, just so helpful in setting your business on the right path, putting it on solid foundations, coming up with a really strong business plan, working out who your customers are, how you're going to sell to them. So it's been an interesting time for us. You know, I still feel that we haven't even really started because, you know, I've spent so much time getting things right, so that we feel now that 2025 is really the year that we're going to see the biggest growth. And then hopefully it'll only scale from there.
And it started off just you on your own beginning it. In terms of employment potential, where are we at now and what could be coming down the track?
So just to focus on where we are now, we've in the last few months taken on our first member of staff. She's full-time with me, and then I have others who are helping me part-time, but we're still a very, very small team. You know, I outsource a lot of the things that I can't do myself to sort of people who are skilled in that area, but ultimately next year we won't be able to manage with, you know, the staff levels that we have now. So we were very lucky. I mean, like I say, there is so much support for businesses, but so many facilities for businesses. You know, we had an office in the Creveen in Termon, which is an incredible, you know, the network of GTEC hubs are amazing for people who want to work outside of, you know, even like the bigger sort of centres like Letterkenny. You know, Donegal, there are so many different locations to support startup businesses and to support people who don't want to work in that traditional office environment.
Let's just go back to the three small and medium enterprises grant programme. Nice to be one of 10 winners and getting a cheque of €10,000. So when that was announced, what were your initial thoughts as to where you were going to divert this money towards?
My initial thought was, you know, I was just delighted because it wasn't even sort of necessarily that the money aspect. It was the fact that our messaging, what we're about as a brand, is getting across to people who aren't directly connected with us. You know, the sort of wider business community sees what we're doing and is validating what we're doing. So, I mean, that was the first thing. The money, obviously, you know, everyone knows you can never have enough cash in the bank, particularly as a startup. So the money was sent sort of different directions. It actually did give us the confidence to take on the first full-time member of staff, which was great. You know, not that the money is going to pay wages for the year, but it was just the sort of confidence boost that I needed at the time to do that. But as well as that, three have been great in terms of providing different, you know, new technology phones, broadband, you know, my phone bill is paid. So it's just, you know, bills that I don't need to worry about that are still sort of there being paid in the background. So that's where it went to.
And by achieving this and having this win in the grant program as such, it's also given you touched on it there, exposure. You were on News Talk with Bobby Kerr on his business program, and the whole profile, and as you say, you know, your message is being received by more and more people. So it's all stepping stones.
It's, you know, it's so important. And I didn't realize this at the start. I didn't realize how getting that message out, I didn't realize how important that would be to me. And the feedback that I've had, you know, just to hear people saying, wow, you know, we really love your idea. We can see what you're doing. You know, you have an incredible business. The entrepreneurial journey is a lonely one. And with the best will in the world, there's only so much that your friends and family want to listen to. And often, you know, when you're starting your own business, you have so many doubts. You don't know if you're doing the right thing. You don't know if you're doing the wrong thing. So being part of that network, and that's where programs like New Frontiers were so helpful, because you become part of a network of other entrepreneurs who are on the same journey, you know, who might be in a completely different, unrelated niche from you or different business type. But being part of that network of other business people who are there to just say, you know, you're doing a good job, or, you know, let us know how we can help, that's invaluable.
If your competition ups its game and improves what it's offering, what's your unique selling point? How can you sort of ensure that you continue to thrive and stay ahead of the pack, so to speak?
That's the thing, Chris. I mean, you know, like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're not making products that aren't already out there. We're not coming up with anything, you know, novel or high tech. But what we are doing is coming up with really amazing, high quality products that have had so much thought put into them. We understand the lives of our customers. We understand the problems. We understand the challenges that they have. And as a brand, we're building a community around that. You know, ultimately, we want to be the main sort of diabetic accessory manufacturer in every country in the world. But we also want to, you know, partner with, you know, designers, artists. We're really a creative brand that's sort of, you know, led as opposed to us being functional. So we strongly feel that it's all of those elements. It's my personal experience. It's using my story as someone who is fortunately, you know, living confidently with type 1 diabetes to help other people living with type 1 want to sort of share in that kind of community. And that's where we feel we're different from the others that are out there.
And back to the support that's available, be it grants or mentoring, we've touched on the potential out there. And I suppose that is also a challenge, is that when you are upscaling, it's to go at a level that is achievable and maybe not taking on too much or not moving too quickly, because sometimes if you do that, well, things can go the other way.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the advice that I would give people. You know, I'm 4 years into this journey now, actually coming closer to five. And honestly, I'm not where I thought I would be at this stage. You know, it's been a completely different journey than I envisaged. But I'm glad that I'm taking the time to do it right, because I know that we're not copying anyone that's out there. We're doing our own thing. And if 20 diabetic accessory companies open up in the morning, there's room for us all. So I think taking your time, you know, often we want to run before we can walk. And like I say, there is so much out there. There are so many different programs that you can get onto. There's different people you can speak to validate, even, you know, from the idea stage to then, you know, proving the concept and growing from there. So I think, you know, often as an entrepreneur, you can be very, very critical and look at what you haven't done, rather than actually taking a step back and saying, wow, look at what I have done, look at what I have achieved. So that's my advice to people, is that if you have a great idea for a business, if you're passionate about it, then you'll always succeed, irrespective of how long it takes to get that off the ground.
And Catherine, this is certainly an exciting time to be in this sector, because in Ireland there are a lot of firms who are actually very much involved in producing products that are associated with diabetes management.
Absolutely, Chris. You know, even in Donegal here, for a long time we've had Abbott, who are one of the leaders in glucose monitoring technology. More recently, Dexcom, who are a huge American company who make continuous glucose monitors, are based in Athenry. They have a huge plant that they've just recently opened in Athenry. Medtronic, one of the leading insulin pump manufacturers, have a strong presence in Galway. But on top of that, there are lots of Irish startups and medtech companies who are working on solutions for people with type 1 diabetes. So it's, as a person living with type 1 diabetes in Ireland, I'm so proud to see that these companies are here. But also as a business person who is making accessories for people living with type 1 and for these devices, it would be wonderful to think, you know, that in the not too distant future, a company based in Donegal can be supporting some of these huge manufacturers and the smaller, you know, people coming up with incredible high-tech solutions for type 1 diabetes. So yeah, it's a very, very exciting time to be in this sort of sphere in Ireland.
And finally, Catherine, if somebody wants to find out more, the website is probably the the first port of call?
Absolutely. So the website is www.pumpskins.com. So that's PUMPSKYNZ.com. And I can be contacted at hello@pumpskins.com. You'll find me on LinkedIn. If anyone wants to get in touch, I'm, you know, always happy to speak to anyone either about something related to type 1, something related to business, something, you know, anything. I'm always accessible for anyone who wants to talk.
And that was Catherine Devine, the founder of Pumpskins. You've been listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. If you want to contact me, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Well, that's it for this edition. As always, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a profitable week ahead. Until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.